Good morning, you wonderful people. Will you turn to Matthew chapter 7, please? Matthew chapter 7. Lord, Lord, or wise builder? This is the last message on the Sermon on the Mount in this series. If we want to live as Jesus said, and we do, I know that we do, I do not think there is a more important scripture in the Bible than the Sermon on the Mount. It is not accidental that we get these three chapters of the Lord's sermon so near the beginning of the New Testament. All this teaching comes up elsewhere as well in one form or another, but here it is all put together in one sequence. So today is the last message on that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus says this, "In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." It also summarizes the Beatitudes, and basically it summarizes the whole Sermon on the Mount. That line is in chapter 7, verse 12, and after that there is no new teaching in the Sermon on the Mount about how to live. That is the last teaching on how we should live in this sermon. After that, Jesus gives four different warnings to make sure we take his word seriously. So we read the first two warnings last week, the narrow gate and false prophets, and we will read the last two warnings today. So in all of this, listen as you would if Jesus was speaking to our church. That's the way this needs to happen. The last two warnings of the Lord both have to do with people who are self-deceived. They think they're doing the right thing. They think they're doing the Father's will and receiving the kingdom, but they are not. So if we've been paying attention to the Sermon on the Mount so far, we'd be okay here. But Jesus wants to make sure. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord.'" Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So, calling Jesus Lord, Lord, and doing the will of the Father, those are not the same. That much is clear. So the person who says, "Lord, Lord," recognizes who Jesus is and knows who Jesus is. They might even be words of worship. But that is not yet the will of the Father. So the will of the Father, my brothers and sisters, is to live out the Beatitudes in all our daily life, all our normal contacts, friends, family, enemies, people on our household, people we work with, offensive people, irritating people, the authorities, neighbors, good and bad. Are we Beatitude disciples or not? I rolled through a stop sign at a deserted intersection in Steinbeck, a year ago, and a policeman was set up some distance away to catch people like me, and he did. So there's only one question for me at that moment. Will the Lord guide how I respond to that officer? That's daily life. Will the Lord guide how I respond? We treat everyone as we'd like to be treated. We don't do to them what they just did to us. We do to them what we'd like them to do to us. Not complicated and not easy. That is the will of the Father. Later in Matthew, Jesus told a parable about a father with two sons. The father asked the first son to go work in the field. And the first son said, "Yes, sir, I will go." But he never went. The father asked the second son, and the second son was rude. He just said no. But then he changed his mind, and he went. And so, said Jesus, which one did the will of his father? See, in that story, and also in this line in Matthew 7, it's not the one that talked right. Let's not fool ourselves by being able to talk right about Jesus. Let's not fool ourselves by being able to talk right about Jesus. That the person says Lord twice emphasizes how devoted the talk is, but that is not the will of the Father. "Did we not minister in your name? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Folks, the Sermon on the Mount is not just about God's way to live. In this sermon, Jesus makes high claims for himself. And no part of the sermon does more of that than these words. It happens several times in the sermon, but especially these words. So these Jews listening all knew that there would be final judgment and that God was the final judge. The Old Testament made that clear. But here, Jesus makes himself the final judge. Many will say to me on that day, I will tell them, I never knew you, away from me. So Jesus says he is the final judge. That's part of believing the Sermon on the Mount. Prophets. Did we not prophesy? What does it mean to prophesy? If we looked at it within Matthew, especially the Sermon on the Mount, a prophet is someone who declares the will of God. It's fairly wide definition here. Jesus twice in this sermon said he was teaching the same as the law and the prophets. So in a sense, the whole sermon is that. It's prophecy because it's what the law and the prophets said. So in Matthew, preaching the kingdom of heaven is a prophetic role. So by, in this sense, John the Baptist and Jesus were in that role. Jesus drives out demons and does many miracles. And later, Jesus will send out the 12 to preach the kingdom of heaven and to drive out demons and do miracles. So we could actually imagine someone doing what the disciples will do and then saying this to Jesus at the end. Did we not do all this? Is it even possible to preach in Jesus' name and drive out demons and perform miracles in Jesus' name and yet be rejected in the final judgment? I'm not sure. I don't know. Sometimes Jesus exaggerated to make a point. But this we know for sure. That kind of powerful and significant ministry is not yet the Father's will. It is not yet the narrow gate. Prophesying, driving out demons, performing miracles, all of it in Jesus' name is not yet the Father's will. These people were fooled by their own great ministry into thinking that was the will of God. Think about mission trips, short-term mission. A group of believers goes somewhere and works for the Lord over there, somewhere else, for a short time, and then comes back home. There is good in this. And sometimes it is spiritually a very rewarding time. There's a sense of adventure mixed in with the traveling, and we're serving the Lord. We're just not doing ordinary life. It could actually be exhilarating, including spiritually exhilarating. And that's all fine. But then what happens is that we get to think that's really living for the Lord. That's really serving the Lord. And we come back thinking this is so boring. This is not serving the Lord. I want this to be more like that. People, the will of the Father is precisely what we do in ordinary life. That is exactly the crucial time for doing the will of the Father. I do not mean to discourage mission trips, not at all. I do mean to say that according to Jesus, ministry like that is not the will of God for us that will count on the final day. Lord, Lord, I went on 30 mission trips to serve you. Lord, Lord, I was a pastor for 30 years to serve you. And the Lord will say, but why did you not do the will of the Father? Folks, in ordinary life, how are we treating the people? In our words, who are we angry at? It is the difficult people that bring this to the front. Blessed are the meek and the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Will I do to others what I want them to do to me? That's the will of the Father. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is very clear. For every single one of us, our calling is exactly where we are. Our situation right now is our calling. it might change. But no one of us can ever be more called by God than we are right now today, whenever you hear this sermon. And again, no believer can ever be more called by God than they are at this moment. Read the middle of 1 Corinthians 7 if you don't believe me. And this ending of the Sermon on the Mount is taking us in the same direction. Will we live worthy of Christ today? How will we treat people in a Christ-like way today? And remember, this is designed for the poor in spirit, the people who want this but fall and need forgiveness. This is designed for ordinary people who are selfish and self-centered. God knows all that, but we must not let ourselves be fooled into thinking the will of God is anything else. The Lord Jesus does not want us to fool ourselves about that. Everyone who hears my words and does them. This is now we are moving from to the very last warning in the Sermon on the Mount. This last warning is to those who hear the Lord's teaching, they know it, and they like it, but they don't actually do it. They think hearing it is enough. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and its fall was great. So the storms here in this parable are not a picture of the troubles of life. The storm is a picture of final judgment. Psalm 1 says, "The wicked will not stand in the judgment." That's what this is about. But the righteous will be fine. Jesus has no interest in someone telling him, "Jesus, that sermon was amazing. You are the best teacher ever. I never heard anything like that. What a remarkable way to live." Jesus does not need that from me. What he wants to know is, does this steer my life? That is the only question that matters to him. This all sounds like salvation by works, so let's talk about that for a bit. No one ever earns their salvation. No one deserves eternal life. No one receives the kingdom as any kind of wages or reward for obedience or good behavior. It is always a gift. It is always good news from God for the poor in spirit. It is always God's remarkable generosity. But it is only for people who want him. It is only for people who want him. And wanting him means I will shape how I live according to God's teaching. I will steer my life in his ways. That's repentance. The kingdom is designed for the poor in spirit who also hunger and thirst after righteousness. So no one misses this because they are not good enough. Are you having trouble finding the narrow gate? Ask, it will be given. Seek, you will find it. Knock at the gate, it will be opened. There is great help available from God, and there is great forgiveness when we fail. But Jesus does not want any of us telling ourselves that we are seeking first the kingdom of God when we are not. These challenges at the end of the sermon are the Lord's way of making sure that none of the interested people fool themselves about that. Let's talk about doing at the end of the sermon here, the section from last sermon and this one, doing. I'm going to summarize verses 12 to 27 and highlight the same Greek word, which just means do. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Every good tree does good fruit. Every rotten tree does bad fruit. A good tree is not able to do bad fruit. A bad tree is not able to do good fruit. Every tree doing bad fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter, but the one doing the will of my Father. Lord, Lord, did we not do many miracles? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise builder. Everyone who hears these words of mine but will not do them is like a foolish builder. My brothers and sisters, the gospel has to shape our lives. Let no one ever say, I cannot live right, but at least my heart is right. That is impossible. Jesus said all evil actions come from our hearts. We do what is in our hearts. Let us not fool ourselves. Much better to say we are poor in spirit. The Lord cares about what we do. But there's good news here. I want to talk about good news in the closing. For one, as I have often said, you people show this. I know you work to make peace with those being hard on you. I know that you treat others how they would like to be treated. The good news is that you have asked and you are receiving. And you have looked for it and God leads you to find it. So that's very good. Keep doing that, my brothers and sisters. And secondly, it is very good to know this. To know what matters to God and what does not matter. Jesus wants us to know. Knowing helps. We do have real energy for God and we have real hunger for God. But how will we live that out? Our intuitions often do not take us in the right direction. Obviously, Jesus thinks that too, that our intuitions cannot be trusted, or he would not have spoken so clearly. So thanks to these warnings from our Lord, we can aim our energy for the Lord in the right direction. Also, this does not leave anyone out. Most of us do not prophesy or drive out demons or perform miracles. If that counted for a lot, we'd be out of luck. But the Sermon on the Mount leaves no one out. It begins, good news from God for the poor in spirit. Folks, that's the opening line, and it goes from there. The will of the Father is laid out in this sermon, and the great and mighty have no advantage at all. If we can get through the first gate, if we can come to God as poor in spirit, the rest follows. And my brothers and sisters, when everything is a terrible mess, go back to the start. Good news from God for the poor in spirit, and take it from there again. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, our Lord, thank you for being so straightforward. Thank you for saying it like it is. Thank you for helping us keep our eyes open. And now, keeping our shepherd, Lord, we want that narrow gate. We want that path to life. We want to do your Father's will. We want to hear your words and do them. Thank you that you do not want us to be fooled. We don't want to be fooled either. Keep teaching us, Lord, and thank you that this is all for the poor in spirit. We want you, Lord, and we want the kingdom of God. We want to treat others as we'd like to be treated. And you have come to us and you've called us to this, Lord. You yourself invited us to follow you this way. We are saying yes with all our hearts. Take us by the hand and see us through, Lord Jesus. Take us by the hand and see us through. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.